You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here with you. Quite a few things on the show this week, and honestly, I'm not even going to be able to get to all the stuff that I wanted to get to because I have a lot of work that I have to get done. I have about 150 comics that I have to catch up on, so I haven't bought them on a regular basis since Heroes Con. And I get a lot of books a month. And if you know anything about Heroes Con, you know that it was back in June. So, had almost a year for the Fantastic Four to catch up with. I would say more than a year of Thor. About 4 months of Superman. I have a ton of stuff to catch up on. So, I have to do that. I have some fan fiction that I have to write for Marvel Universe Transformed. And I have a lot of television that I need to watch, which it's on right now. I'm watching a commercial. So, really, I'm only going to do part of what I intended to do. And really, that includes this week, we have The ATT Buzz by John DeLuna. We have a discussion with Thylacine 2000 on Galvatron and why he's the bee's knees. We also have a little bit of information from Thylacine 2000 on a wide range of things, a veritable cornucopia of goodness. We have Point the Blame, which is becoming... a lot of people seem to like it, and other people hate it. So that's actually what I was going for, so that's good. Actually, it's not what I was going for, it's what I was hoping for. At the end of the show, we'll have an interview with M. Cypher, from, you know, him from ATT. And him, you know, his art and his nifty Transformers collection, and he has quite a few opinions on things. That will be at the end of the show. And on the site, if you look in the description, there will be a link to a text interview. Yes, a text interview with Tiger Megatron. You heard me right. Tiger Megatron from ATT. Besides that, John DeLuna has a... the rest of his Tranny's ballot. And I have a song to play, which I'm going to get into here in a minute. It's by Tony Bacala. Is that how you pronounce your name, Tony? From TFW2005.com. It was the theme for NetterBotCon last year. And the reason we're playing that is because, I don't know, it's a little gift from... Daniel Divi Vink. You may know him from Alt Toys Transformers. And if you know, if you've been paying attention, there's a little altercation. A few things were said about RFC, and it was all taken back. It was because of a big misunderstanding. And Divi felt bad because of this, and he presented us with this and something to read. And now, right now, I'm searching my hard drive for what Devi wanted to say. And I have found it here in Microsoft Outlook Express. Hi, everybody. In the recent weeks, some of the Dutch posters on ATT got themselves involved in a silly flame war. The flame war is now over, and we'd like to contribute something to trans fandom. Last year, there was a big Transformers convention in Holland called NetterBotCon. Tony Bacala from TransformersWorld2005.com created the theme song for the event, and we'd like the song to be played on RFC. We hope you enjoy it, and if you do, don't forget to visit Tony's site at www.tfw2005.com. Also, our greetings go out to Brian and the RFC crew, and we hope you can continue RFC for a long time. Enjoy. Well, I'd like to thank Devi, who I've always respected, even though it was a little bit shaken, you know, in the past few weeks. It's good to know that you can still have some faith in people, and even if it does shake a little, that pretty much, you know, they can still come out and prove they are good people. And Devi is a good person, and he doesn't like off-topic posts either, so... You know, you've got to be a winner with that. Oh, well, I'm going to play that song 1st. It's coming up right now. I'd like to thank Debbie and Tony. And we hope you enjoy the song. It is called... What is it called? I'm a moron. It's, well, it's a remix by Limp Bizkit. Enjoy.
I would have waited an eternity for this. It's over, Prime.
Though we've grown up, we've many bonds.
Though we've grown up, we've many
bonds. Did you copy?
Cybertron's only hope! former civilization. And now we play a river.
Get north! After her!
Ship wasn't built, it was poured!
Diecast construction. It's a lost art.
Transformers World. 2005.
We appreciate that from Debbie and Tony. Again, Debbie, thanks for showing your true colors and proving that you're a good, straight up guy. Okay. On Radio Free Cybertron, I do want to mention, first, vote in the poll. Yes, there is a poll up now. One's supposed to have been up back in November, but it's, now, finally. It's about Toy Fair. What do you expect to see? It has its own page, and actually, I may go about and put the poll back on the homepage. Why? Because, well, at one point, I could put a poll up, and the next day, probably have 100 responses. Well, now that it's on page again, like it was originally, it had 4 responses. Yep, 4. 4 big ones. I really don't know if it's worth the time doing it that way. Well, I have to be honest. The fact that a poll hasn't been on that page in 3 months, has something to do with it. But 4 responses, man. People must not pay attention to that news applet. Or, actually, they may not even be able to see that news applet. I've had people tell me that you can't see it, which that's only a really small minority, maybe 2 people. I may go about fixing that. But what I'll definitely do is put the poll back on the homepage. I just have to work that out. Look for that, I don't know, in a few weeks. But the poll is about Toy Fair and what you expect to see. Basically, the choices are more Transformers toys, Beast Machines in particular. Very few Transformers toys. Very few Beast Machines and something else. Else that could be, TransTech, even though it's supposed to be defunct. I've heard people say that there is the possibility that that will resurface. Who knows? But the poll is there, and just vote. Right now, I'll just do trivia, because I don't have a clip for this week, because, like I said, I don't have a lot of time, or I haven't had. But I will basically go about telling you what this clip was last week. Only 2 people got it right. Those 2 people were... The person who got it exactly right was Greg Bishansky. He got it down to the scene and the episode. Anthony Tony Fitz Brucal. Was that how you say your name, Tony? Pretty much got the characters right. It was Galvatron and Gigastorm was there. I don't know if he said anything in that clip, but it was from Beast Wars 2, the movie. I decided to go Japanese again, because, once you go Japanese, you can never go back. Or something like that. I love Japanese food, by the way. I did a clip of 4 Heroes Come From the Sky, the first episode of Headmasters, and only 1 person got that one correct. And I tried to see if anybody could get this, and it seemed a bit too difficult for the most of you. I'll do a new clip next week, and I'll try to... I may go back to putting the clip on the homepage. I don't know if that's worthwhile or not, but who knows. Oh, well, we'll start things off this week with The ATT Buzz by John DeLuna, and, I'm just going to let everything roll this week, because, like I said, I have very little time on my hands. Basically, we'll have the ATT Buzz, then we'll go into Point the Blame, and make sure to note that the views and opinions of Hooper X are not that of Radio Free Cybertron, or not necessarily that of Radio Free Cybertron. then we'll go into the discussion. No, we'll go into what Thylacine 2000 has to say, and then we'll just go to whatever. Just keep listening to Radio Free Cybertron, and thanks for listening. Here we go with the ATT Buzz.
Is the day so long in coming that I am uncertain how to celebrate it? Perhaps a quiet chuckle. Very well then, let us chuckle.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and we get started with BotCon Beyond, which was updated on Saturday afternoon with Sonar. And the interesting part about Sonar is that they picked a gender for it, and it's female, obviously. It wouldn't be news if it was male, and that's pretty interesting because most Transformer tech specs do leave gender up in the air, and most people do assume that they are male, so to speak, if you want to be in that camp that says Transformers have genders. I don't have a problem with this. I kind of like it. I think it's a nice twist. But the fact that they do mention Sonar's gender does give it a good possibility that that will factor into the story, if at all possible, that the fact gender is female for Sonar will be a point in the plot for the comic, and I hope it's not a major plot. I hope Sonar's characterization comes first before her gender. I hope she doesn't save the world because she has breasts or whatever. I hope that she's like Beast Wars Black Arachnia in the fact that it's a good, layered, interesting character and a female almost second. That the gender is not a major defining point of the character or her existence, unlike, say, Beast Machine Black Arachnia, which was relegated to token female, or even worse, RC, who was just the Autobot's plaything. Moving on, Rodimus Prime on the Wreckers website has a private blurb, just like Sonar, and you get to the private blurbs by highlighting their bio all the way past the Viacon drone silhouettes, which show which drones are pursuing the certain wreckers. On Rodimus Prime's bio, there's a blur. Presumably, this is Megatron talking, or one of the Viacon generals sending a private message to the drones, or whoever's listening, that concerns the order, quote-unquote, being destroyed, and, quote-unquote, the confusion over a chosen one surviving, and lots of people don't know what Chosen One or Order alludes to. Personally, I think it's most likely, in fact, I'm almost certain that Order means the Primes, Rodimus Prime, Optimus Prime, and Chosen Ones is basically the same thing. Matrix-bearing leaders that were Matrix-compatible, Matrix-compliant, Chosen Ones by the Matrix, like Optimus Prime, like Rodimus Prime, unlike, say, Ultra Magnus, or even Scourge. Okay, next up, we go across the ocean to Takara, who announced, presumably, their next toy line taking the place of Transformers and Brave, when Takara announced that they were dropping Transformers brand names like a bad habit. Most presumed that they were going back to Brave in name, or at least in spirit, and they're not. They're going in a totally different direction, which makes sense. They're a company in disarray. They're desperate. They're a wounded animal. They might as well try something new because they've got nothing else to lose. And Web Divers is certainly a completely new direction. It's basically very limited, very interesting looking slash ugly toys and Transformers that are also video games to a certain extent. And the storyline, as the name implies, goes along with the internet, with the bandwidth. It's hip. It's cool. It's in. It's something to relate to the technology tech head kiddies, I guess. And the premise behind it are basically Transformer-looking toys that are also video games. The tall $100 toy named Gradian that turns into a locomotive is also a console with a set of controls on his back, and you plug in the smaller transformable toys into him, and on a TV screen, you see Gradian, and you see the toy that is plugged into him at the time, and you play video games with that, through that medium. It's really risky, and it really, honestly, it doesn't make sense to me, because Takara is in financial trouble, and so is Japan for the most part, and who's going to be able to afford a $100 toy that has $30 accessories, and that's useless without a television? You're looking at, oh, $100 television, at least $100 toy, and at least one or two other toys at $20 to $30 a piece to make it all worthwhile. It's pretty risky. It's a lot more money than I think most Japanese people will be willing to spend, especially if you don't market it just right. And Takara has a dubious history of marketing things. I mean, they took the Transformers name, and they couldn't sell that. I mean, ever since Beast Wars debuted over there, oh, 4 or 5 years ago, Beast Wars was a smash success over there. It sold very well, and it steadily, the sales steadily declined with Takara's handling. All toy quality aside, see, personally, I like Neos, and Neo is the toy line that most people will accept as the point where Takara really broke the Transformer line in current modern days for the Japanese market permanently. It's going to be a few years before they build up enough gumption and consumers forget the Transformer line enough for them to make it a success again, because Neo was a fundamental screw-up. They had toys that a 8-year-old could not figure out, let alone 5-year-olds, which they marketed everything else about Neo to. They had a toy line that was really for 10-year-olds and up. I mean, the toys were that complicated. They had that many nuances. Only an older child could really appreciate them. And all it did to a 5-year-old was blow out their brain. And you can't do that when you have a cartoon, as far as the Neo toy line did, that markets to 5-year-olds. So basically, you've got mass confusion. You've got them marketing to a demographic that's way too young for the actual product. Okay, finally, to wrap up the buzz, ain't it cool news? Made it to ATT again for all the same wrong reasons, namely a live-action Transformer the Movie rumor. And I'm sure that Ain't It Cool News gets reports of a possible Transformers movie almost weekly. The only problem with this one is it got through because somebody put together a sloppy, sad picture of Metal Force Prime all cleaned up and dressed up and claimed that this was a picture from the live-action movie, or at least a copy or a print from an early test shot, test photography of the movie. And I don't think ATT would get worked up so much if they realized what exactly Ain't It Cool News is. And Ain't It Cool News is basically just a rumor mill. It's a rumor site. And it's gotten pretty bad in the last couple years. At first, AICN was a site that was run by a small, tight group of individuals that at least had a few contacts in Hollywood. Now, they'll post anything. If you've got any shred of evidence, whether it be, faulty or not, they'll put it up. And they won't act like it's news, they won't act like it's a rumor, they'll just put it up and get hits. And the site is run by a 750-pound redhead and his father, and there's nothing wrong with that. Being at BotCon has pretty much dulled me to the world of geekness. Believe me, there's always something worse out there. There's always something crazy and sad out there, and chances are it's a white, overweight male with a mullet and a goatee. Go to BotCon this year and see what I mean. Anyway, back to AICN, Ain't It Cool News. And this live-action Transformer movie rumor is, of course, a baseless rumor. It's never going to happen, people. There's never going to be another live-action Transformer movie. Well, there's never going to be another Transformer movie, period. The closest thing we'll ever get to that, maybe, would be a straight-to-video Transformers movie of whatever current line or cartoon series is going on. And even then, I seriously doubt they would take the investment to do that, because it takes a lot of money to put together even that, and you're gambling on pretty big sales for the VHS or the DVD release of that. Also on ATT, that topic, that rumor spawned another thread that we get, at least every month, and that is the Transformers the movie sucks. And it always starts with somebody saying, hey, I like Transformers the movie. Lay off, man. And everybody else jumps in and says, no, all kidding aside, all fandom aside, if you look at Transformers the movie, based on its own merits, the movie does suck. And it does. Fundamentally, it does. Now, I like Transformers the movie for certain points about it. The characters that were introduced in Transformers the movie, I like, for the most part, from an aesthetic point and some from a characterization point. Although, I will be the first to admit that in 90 minutes, Transformers the movie characterizes almost nobody. They don't give background or reason to care about any of the characters at all. The only character that gets any kind of characterization in Transformers the movie is Megatron. In the first 10 minutes, they build him up as a ruthless, powerful, callous, evil leader. They play him up well. He's put on a high pedestal. He slaughters people in that shuttle. He beats down Autobot City. He has Laserbeak go spy on the Autobots. He has an evil aura around him, which is nicely done. The only problem is 5 minutes after his fight with Optimus Prime, which is a good, well-directed fight, mind you, he's wiped off the face of the Earth by Unicron. He has his final betrayal by Starscream. He's thrown out of the shuttle. You'd think that set up a great rest of the story with Megatron coming back as Megatron for revenge on Starscream, maybe a few Decepticons, taking back the Decepticon army and going after Rodimus Prime. But no, Unicron wipes him off the face of the Earth. We get Galvatron, another guy we know nothing about, and he joins the rest of the guys we know nothing about. And if you can't care about characters in a movie, if you can't care about the people in the movie, it's really hard, if not impossible, to care about the movie. And that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
That's right, everybody. It's time for this week's installment of Point the Blame. I'm your host, Hooper X. This week's topic is going to be nostalgia, the resurgence of Transformers, or at least classic Transformers, in the public eye as a new, hip, trendy thing, as a sort of underground ideal. This is really, really stupid. Part of my anger with this sort of new retro Transformer thing is that it's bringing in a bunch of people into the fan base, into the Transformer subculture, who really don't know what they're talking about and instantly dismiss anything that isn't 1984, 1985 series as worthless or somehow inferior. This is the, we have a term for this. This is the truck, not monkey crowd, because Optimus is a truck, not a monkey, dude. You didn't know that? Ooh, Beast Wars, it suck. The factor I blame the most for this is Hot Topic, the store chain that bills itself as somehow being underground, somehow deviant, somehow different, somehow freakish, despite the fact that it's in the middle of the f***ing shopping mall. The irony here should be obvious. Real subversive, real crazy, real deviant, real underground, real right next to old frickin' Navy. It's stores like these where the new, hip, old-school Transformer t-shirts first cropped up, and thusly they give that aura that, it, again, is somehow underground. Transformers are not underground. They are not rebellious. They were made by a toy company, a multinational conglomerate, and there were millions of them on the shelves for 8 years. They are not underground. They are not subversive. They are not counterculture. They are corporate America at its finest. You are not fighting the power by wearing an Optimus Prime t-shirt. You are not standing up to the man. If nothing else, you are selling out. You are supporting a corporation. You are giving money to Whitey, alright? You are not underground. This, of course, infuriates me to no end. Now, if you're going to wear a shirt because you actually genuinely like Transformers, so be it. If you're wearing a shirt because having Destro on your chest makes you feel like you're fighting the power or smashing the system, shut the f*** up and go home. If you're not into it for the reason you should be into it, then quit. Put up or shut up, quit or get off the can. If you're here because it's cool, because it's trendy, because it's hip, because it's the next big thing, or because it's somehow underground, raver, hip-hop, rap rock, cock block, whatever, get the f*** out, alright? I may be taking this too far. So what? This is the topic that irritates me. It infuriates me. It aggravates me. It makes me want to beat people up. It makes me very unhappy. It makes baby Jesus cry. What's the big deal? The whole fakeness of it. The overwhelming aura of fake. The fact that someone, somehow, somewhere, decided that something that's been making millions of dollars for a multinational corporation is somehow covert, secret, underground. No. No, it's not. It's anything but. I just don't get it, really. I mean, why not just say, I'm wearing a Transformers shirt because Optimus Prime was pretty cool. Not, I'm wearing a Transformers shirt because it makes me part of some underground elite, because it makes me somehow special, it makes me somehow different. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It makes you exactly the same as just about every boy in the United States, Canada, Japan, the United Kingdom, Europe, Australia, and several other places around the world I can't be bothered to name right now during the 1980s. This is not some sort of new underground subculture thing. Do you get the picture? Next week on Point the Blame, we're going to have the first ever special theme show. The theme, Somebody Hates Me. I want all of you out there in radio-free Cybertron land who hate Hooper X to give me an email. Write to Kill My Lonely, KILLMYLONELY at AOL.com. Tell me why you hate me. Is it because I talk too loud? Is it because I'm a jerk? Is it because I'm arrogant? Is it because I killed your mother and raped your baby? I want to know. Come on, clue me in, people. I'm your pal, right? Let me know. And I have a nagging sensation that tells me that'll about do it for this week's version of Point the Blame. As always, I am your host, Hooper X of www.sexsexworld.com, the best site on the internet to kill your lonely. The opening and closing theme are, as always, provided by the kind gentlemen of Catch-22. Go out, find some of their music, and give them a listen for me, alright? The show is presented with the help of Radio Free Cybertron, so come back next week for more of your favorite show and mine. Point the Blame!
Hello, 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 folks. This is Thylacine 2000 talking to you on my Radio Free Cybertron debut. And I'm just getting back now from a really slick weekend away at the first ever Vericon, which was the official sci-fi convention organized by the Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, or HRSFUSH for short. And my friends in the area, including Steve-O Stonebreaker, the FAQ keeper, who goes to BU, it's near there, and also many other people in HRSFA, had been looking forward to this for quite a while, because we are all really psyched up about the Beast Wars showings that we ran towards the end of last spring, and we had been planning on showing Transformers there for a long-ass time. And to make a very frustrating, painful story short, we had not had the slightest idea if we were going to be able to show Transformers at the main convention's viewing rooms or not, until the day that the blasted thing actually began. So it was really cut down to the wire. But there was a happy ending, and Transformers were able to make a major appearance at this con. Basically, Vericon was nothing like BotCon, though. It was basically devoted to board games and card games, things like, you know, the cheap-ass game industry such as Give Me the Brain and Lord of the Fries, or certain board games based on sci-fi properties such as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Cosmic Encounter, which I helped playtest, brag. And there were also a huge amount of anime, and I mean huge. And when I say huge, I don't mean kind of like big, I mean like really big-ass big. Like all kinds of just ridiculous adjectives failing. They were showing anime in two viewing rooms, 24 hours a day for 3 days. And along with all that anime came Transformers. Steve Stonebreaker and I provided all the videos. I did the G1 stuff, and Steve was generous enough and insane enough to bring his entire Beast Wars collection and a slew of Japanese stuff. And we all just got together. We watched More Than Meets the Eye, SOS Dinobots, War of the Dinobots, Fire on the Mountain, Starscream's Brigade, Auto Berserk, the Transformers movie DVD, Five Faces of Darkness 2, because it has the debut of the kick-ass Galvatron in his superior post-movie insane mode, Webworld, by the way, Webworld received not one but two encores by request from the student body. After Webworld, we saw Zone and Scramble City, and then as we went into Beast Wars, and we saw Bad Spark, the Agenda Trilogy, Proving Grounds, and Master Blaster. Master Blaster was very special for the audience because it has the debut of course, Dragon Megatron, who is one of the mascots of the Harvard Science Fiction Association, which is kind of cool. Now, we had a fairly nice-sized audience. We had a grand total of 10 people show up at various points in the day in the to see our Transformers Film Festival, which may not sound like a lot. However, it was later revealed to me by the person who was in charge of all the AV materials that it was, in fact, the second largest audience of any video room at the entire Varicon convention. We were beaten out only by Princess Mononoke, which was shown on a movie-sized screen, whereas we had to deal with a television set. So with those factors in place, I am quite comfortable with, you know, coming in second. It's an honorable, you know, definitely a very good showing. And also feels real, damn, good to have just taken, like, all those, you know, anime-loving fanboys who hate American animation, hate Disney, hate Transformers, hate Beast Wars even more than they hate Transformers because it's in CGI, because it's new and it isn't what they grew up with, and just kind of, like, rubbing their faces in it, like, I'm tempted to say a little, but actually I did a lot because that's my way, rubbing their faces in it a whole hell of a lot because, damn it, we got the second biggest showing, whereas things like Neon Genesis, Evon, Galeon got absolutely zero. Let me repeat, zero. And Transformers were up against the MacQuest Plus movie and Ghost in the Shell, and they got zero while they were on the movie screen, and we got a big crowd while we were on the TV, shown at the exact same time. So we actually quite literally trounced them, which is kind of cool. Anyway, so Varicon was a big success as far as Transformers go, and it was a nice place for science fiction fans in the area to go. I was a little bit, you know, surprised that no ATTers from the Boston area showed up, because I know Steve made a very informative post to the group beforehand, but I think what might happen is that in the future, people might hear about the success we had this year and attempt to come in the future. And that was roundabout, wasn't it? Okay, cool. Let's see. Now, what do I find when I come back to home from Varicon and I check ATT, but rumors of the new live-action Transformers movie? Oh my god, I have never heard of this before. Come on, people, this is the most... This was a sorry-ass rumor back in 1984 and a half, let alone today, okay? It will never happen. It is the unhappening. It is the opposite of happen. It is nepa. It is the opposite of happen. And the saddest thing about all this is the evidence that was shown on a website which has a name that rhymes with blantedcooldudes.com. There's a picture of an item which has attracted a great deal of attention in fandom recently, and I guess I can understand why. I myself went to a great deal of trouble to own it, and so I guess I'll provide a kind of a half-assed excuse for a review right here. It was, of course, the so-called Medicom Optimus Prime statue. Now, interesting story behind this thing. It is technically known as Metalike Metal Force Prime. It should be called Metallic, but they spelled it wrong. But whatever. Metalike Metal Force Prime is a really cool, shiny, almost transmetal, transmetallized repaint of the original Metal Force Convoy, which was released by Time House about almost 2, maybe even 3 years ago. I think it came out before the Botcon Japan Galvatron statue, and that was 1997. In any case, it was released by Time House, which is a Japanese distribution company. For some reason, everyone is now calling it Medicom Prime. They list the company in the same sentence as the name incessantly, and some people have actually called it, like, have used it as an adjective, like you have Target Master Cyclonus, you have Medicom Prime. I do not understand this. It may be true, but no one has explained it, regardless of whether or not it is accurate or not. I think it's a Time House piece, but I also think of it as it's extraordinarily beautiful. It is arguably the most beautiful item in my Transformers collection. It's also a little bit, you know, counterproductive in that it can't transform. What you get is this slightly over 12 inches tall soft plastic figurine, it's a statue, basically, of Optimus Prime. It is actually a whole lot more cartoon accurate than it looks. The head sculpt is not as squashed and stunted and troll-like as the flat pictures you see on the net make it look like. They kind of tried to capture him from a certain viewing perspective. It looks normal if you tilt his head upwards. The colors are these really stunning, shiny metallic red, silver, yellow, and blue. In my opinion, it is a significant, complete improvement over the original Metal Force Prime, which had flat, dull, lusterless colors. And the biggest flaw, in my opinion, in the original Metal Force was that the areas that are now bright metallic silver were on the original this kind of dull, unpainted milk carton white. Made the thing look very knockoffish, very like a bath toy. I never owned the Optimus Prime Oral Care Station, but I could easily imagine this thing opening up and having like a little toothbrush dispenser inside it, because it just looked kind of cheesy. But the metal-like version, if I can continue being a stickler for grammar, was really very cool to get. Slight warning to all you folks out there who actually like to assemble your toys instead of leaving them in the steel box forever, like the scalper scum you actually are. You know who you are. He comes with stickers, this thing does. He comes with four big white Autobot logos. Big chunky things, looks like they're made out of marshmallows. If I could have the old Harley do moment there. These big logos actually are not cut out. You have to cut them out of the sticky paper on which they are mounted by yourself. And there is the rub, because the paper on which they are printed is completely transparent and very, very thin, like wax thin, because they don't want it to show up around the white Autobot logo when you mount it on his shoulders. All they want you to see is the red of the arm and the white of the Autobot logo, not any color or material from the paper that it's mounted on. So it's so thin that when you cut them out and peel them off and put them on, the danger of ripping them or cutting them with whatever implement you're cutting them off with, or biggest problem, is actually trapping air bubbles beneath them as you try to apply them, because they are so thin and wispy, and the metallic Metal Forces statue's arms are made of this soft plastic that kind of buckle as you put your fingers on them, so it's very easy to trap air beneath them. So you want to be very careful when you put those things on. I imagine if somebody who has a lot of talent at producing sticker reproduction kits, such as Rave Strike, so I've heard, or as I can actually personally vouch, Delta Star, who really kicks every ass with his awesome, superior to the original Transformers sticker improvement kits. Someone like that could really fill a small, specialized, kind of ridiculous niche translation. They could fit in perfectly in all of trans fandom as we know it. They could do that by making their own reproduction kits for the new version of this Metal Force Optimus Prime's stickers. This way, even if people did, heaven forbid, cut them to shreds as they were trying to apply them, they would have a nice set to fall back on. Just something to think about. One more thing to bear in mind, folks, and that is the sudden, long-awaited reappearance of the first concrete information about the what Takara is going to be producing in terms of transforming toys now that Car Robots has, thankfully, shuddered to its long-overdue conclusion. Now, I am more or less a fan of some of the designs that went into Car Robots, and I'm more happy that it was around than if it would not have been around. But a lot of what it brought to the fandom we did not need, and a lot of the trends it brought to toy design, like massively dumb recolors of every single accessory for every toy in every wave of every store, was totally superfluous. So people have been wondering, what is going to happen next? Well, we have seen the first pictures of what's happening next. They are called Wave Rider, so it would seem. And the big question now is, are they even Transformers at all? If you want to see the pictures, as of right now, as of this recording time, the only pictures that exist on the net, to my knowledge, are up at imageanime.com. That's one word, imageanime.com. It's a nice store located in Manhattan, and they're really good at getting advanced import stuff. And what you can see here are a bunch of really odd-looking toys. They appear to be all vehicles. Good start. Vehicles that transform. Better start. But they're vehicles that transform into weapons, and then they transform into animals. No robot mode at all. Yeah, they're kind of, they're triple-changing vehicular beast mutants, kind of. So it's an interesting design sequel follow-up permutation of what we saw from the mutants themselves. Now, again, there is no reason to believe these are actual Transformers items. People are saying that they are actually a new Brave or Yusha toy, and some people are now saying that actually they've created something totally different altogether. This is Takara's attempt to give themselves a break from the Transformers mythos and also not have to rely on the old Brave stuff they fell back on for so many years. Rather, this would be something entirely new. Frankly, I welcome that with open arms because I am sick of having to pay for foreign Transformers, and it would be nice to get a year or so without having to worry about whether they're going to be imported at any price. They look fairly okay. You can see the pictures just yourselves. They're really not quite my design taste. They're very, they seem kind of abstract and clunky a little bit, but they might be nice. I'm just sure as heck glad I'm not going to have to get them. And I'm making a prediction now, folks, ladies and gentlemen, it will be less than a week, mark my words, it will be less than a week from the time that you hear this, whenever that is, because this is kind of like a universal constant. It will happen whenever. Less than a week after you hear this message, somebody on the online fandom, probably on some really lowbrow discussion board, which will then be parodied on ATT, someone will call these new Wave Rider toys either, these are your choices, either Transformers Generation 3 or Transtech Transformers, because that name was floating around for a little while before it got nixed, or, and this is my personal pick, my favorite's going to become yours, Transformers 2001. After all, everybody and their uncle who have nothing to do with Transfandom know that the toy line was actually called Transformers 2000 for about 72 hours. So what will probably happen is people who latched onto the Transformers 2000 misnomer will look at these new transforming vehicle toys from Takara in Japan and kind of overlook the fact that they don't have robot modes, and call them Transformers 2001 and say that they are better than anything that Hasbro could ever produce in the world, despite the fact they're basically mutants that happen to have wheels. Don't get me wrong, they look like they're very nice toys, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see just how they get misinterpreted and misrepresented. But what you should do, folks, is make up your minds for yourself on what they look like, what themes they seem to display, and whether they look cool or not. So again, just keep your eye on ATT for updates, keep your eye on imageanime.com, and any sort of web pages that seem to have quick toy picture updates. I, for one, will not be buying these things just because I need to take a break from buying foreign stuff, and that metal-like Metal Force was more or less the last thing I wanted. But by all means, if you want them, you know, knock yourself out. That way, ideally, everyone else in the world will buy them and then have less money with which to buy things that I in the future will want for myself. So really, I'm kind of helping myself by helping you guys all buy these things now. So by all means, buy them. As a matter of fact, they actually are Transformers. Yes, I did that question before. They are Transformers 2001. They are Generation 3. There is an Optimus Prime in there, and he's made of die-cast dark glass. and please spend all your money on buying them right now, so you'll have less to spend later on stuff that I actually want. And that is Thylacine 2000, signing off from Radio Free Cybertron. Good night. Thank you.
To be or not to be, that is question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know. Me slag say you full of beryllium baloney.
Snarl, tell me answer.
Me snarl, want to be.
Yes, yes, no. Me want to be too.
Me want to be too.
Too.
That sounds great.
I love Galvatron.
Very cool.
Actually, let me get my Galvatron down here. Okay.
Can I hear him make a sound?
Yeah. You can hear him make a wide range of sound.
Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah. And I can get the little capacitors in there in between it and make up sounds. Galvatron's just such a cool character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's sort of sad. Well, I wouldn't say sad that in his debut he's, like, insanely powerful. But,
Debut, would you mean the movie, or would you mean...
I would say Five Faces of Darkness.
Yeah, I think that's when the real Galvatron debuted. In the movie, he was kind of just, you know...
He was Megatron, kind of.
He was this weird pastel advertising. He was kind of like Cyclonus. He was one of these guys who just kind of, like, you know, darted around from this place to that, chased the Autobots. You know, he was barely above Cyclonus, and that he actually had a line or two, but nothing really happened. He was kind of a cipher.
Well, he was...
No offense to M.
Yeah. In the movie, basically all the characters were walking catchphrases. And Galvatron had a few cool lines, you know, like, you know, see this, the Matrix, I now possess that.
Right.
You know, it doesn't go much beyond dialogue. But, you know, Season 3 made Galvatron a character.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I remember you saying something to the effect of, there's nothing wrong with the insane man archetype.
Yes, the lunatic. The lunatic is a perfectly valid character archetype. And, you know, I was listening to the recent RFC broadcast, I believe it was the one from just this past week, when you said that, to a large extent, all fictional characters have to be based on traditional types that, you know, someone might deride as a cliche. But let's face it, you know, there's literature has been around for 5 or 6 millennia now. More or less every character type is a cliche. All that matters is whether they are entertaining or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the character type of the lunatic is definitely very compelling, very interesting, because you literally have no idea what's going to happen next. And that is why I feel Five Faces of Darkness gets a bad rap. I mean, the problem with Five Faces of Darkness is just that it is much too long. It should be about, like, 2.5 Faces of Darkness, plus, like, maybe a commercial or two. It needs to be 5. And so what happens is, you have this really neat stuff with Galvatron showing up and beating the crap out of all the other Decepticons, who, I might add, just kind of bore the heck out of me in Season 3. It's just the Galvatron show. And this is neat. I'm having this little debate with Rob Powers over just exactly how many planets Galvatron has destroyed in his career. Can you keep count, Brian?
I can only think of... honestly, offhand, I'm not the type of person that memorizes everything. I can only think of 2.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, was that a moon that he destroyed in Five Faces of Darkness, or was it a planet?
That depends what you're talking about. There were several in Five Faces of Darkness.
Oh, really?
When
he first makes his appearance.
Okay, that was... I believe that Cyclonus called Thrall a planet.
Okay.
And I will happily call it that, because it makes Galvatron even more insane than he actually was.
Okay.
That's one.
And, you know, Webworld. That's
right.
The only... off top of my head. Torculon. Yeah, that was off top of my head. That
all
was...
Right. So you got Thrall, you've got Torculon, and let's see, what else is there? I know for a fact that he caused a huge amount of damage to planet Jupiter. Rob Power sometimes likes to say that he just destroyed the giant red spot, left the rest intact, but... I think that we see, like, everything being vaporized from one horizon to the other, and it shows no sign of getting better. I think it's, you know...
That's
kind
insane.
Of a shut destruction case.
That's insane. That goes beyond, you know, Dragon Ball Z proportions of, you know, destruction.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jupiter's, like, 300,000 times bigger than the Earth.
Oh, yeah, and the beauty of it is, it didn't take, like, 14 episodes to do. I mean, if Five Faces of Darkness had been Dragon Ball Z, what would have happened is Galvatron would have shot his giant disintegration ray at Jupiter, and... Willie would have said, you know, in some kind of, you know, rhyming, pansy-ish form, oh my god, it's going to hit the planet in 4 minutes. And then, like, by the time the rebirth rolled around, it would have actually hit.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we did not have to suffer through that when we saw all the awesome pyrotechnics happen right then and there. I mean, you really have to attend to something that's... When something as badly animated as Five Faces of Darkness can still manage to look good, you realize you're dealing with something that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Basically, also, people give the toy a bad rap.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, John DeLuna said that he expects, shaving foam to come out of his head. and honestly, when I first saw the toy, I didn't like it that much. But playing with it's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been able to get a hold of mine in a little while just because it's hard for me to pull things out of the display shelves.
Mm-hmm.
But I recall he has among the highest levels of articulation of any pre-Beast toy. I mean,
yes.
He has full shoulders, full elbows, waist, hips, knees, ankles, and he also has neat little psychopathic chuckling action if you rotate his upper torso up and down. So like
yeah, with a battery cover.
Right.
That's beautiful.
I personally hated the toy even after I began to like the character. I totally pulled a flip-flop, though, and I really loved it. It's now my favorite non-Beast toy, more or less, because entirely of how hard I worked to complete it this summer and how doomed that quest was. I mean, we talked about, scalpers and people abusing the hobby. You really have to look at the price of certain Transformers accessories. What's the most ridiculous price you've ever seen for a Transformers accessory?
What was the most ridiculous price?
Yes.
Firebolt, I guess.
Firebolt. That was Target Master Hot Rod's gun. How much?
$50.
$50. Damn, that's really foul. Well, I was looking for Galvatron's... Well, still, a Target Master Hot Rod minus Firebolt is still a complete toy. He just hasn't got his gun.
Yeah.
A Galvatron minus the orange cannon is this big gray rectangle.
Yeah.
He can't transform at all.
It's a big cylinder.
And I saw prices for the orange cannon well in excess of $30 to $40. Which is just unacceptable. And what happened was I went temporarily insane. It was really sad, and LV can testify that I was, in fact, so out of my mind, I actually said, something? I'd rather not pay a high amount of money for a small, incomplete piece. I'd much rather pay an even higher amount of money for a complete piece. So I decided I wanted the Botcon Japan Galvatron statue, which was best left unmentioned.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, yes.
Would you ever want to own it?
Not sure.
Damn. The first syllable sounds better than the second syllable. It's a little bit ridiculous. It's inferior to the PVC, and the PVC isn't that good looking. That's what I've seen. Anyway, the point of this long ramble is that I have decided that Galvatron's my favorite toy now because of how much it meant to me when an ATP-er named Don Velji, or actually I have no idea how his name is pronounced. I know his last name is Velji. That could be anything. It could be Velhi or something. Depends on the nationality. I have no idea. But he read me post this, a very sad, pitiful, angsty, self-pitying message to either RTTM or ATT.
I remember
saying,
that.
Look, I want this piece and no one can help me and I need it. He emailed me and he said, dude, I'll just take it off my Galvatron and send it to you. And so I traded him some dinged up combiner team lens, which I don't really like anyway, and, bada bing, bada bang, I had a complete Galvatron after like 13 years.
Wow.
And so thanks to Don Velji, I had the awesome Destron Emperor of Destruction, in my collection intact again.
That's beautiful.
That's very cool. Now, I understand that you actually have the electronics on yours working.
Let me just tell you this. This is a beautiful C9.5 Galvatron.
Chrome and good tape?
Yeah. Except on one knee, but it's beautiful everywhere else. Mint and box. I'm missing the raffle, but everything else, mint and box, beautiful. I paid $30 for it on eBay.
When was that?
This was like summer of 2000.
Damn.
Yeah, there was like no picture on the auction, and I bid on it, and that was like the best deal I've gotten on eBay ever.
That's a really amazing deal.
Yeah.
Very good call. It's interesting that the electronics work because very often as people worry about electronic transformers, the batteries degrading and corroding and stuff like that. I've never had experience with that, but I know that for some reason my Galvatron, he kind of squeals. He doesn't actually warble the way yours does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like degraded, I guess, but whatever.
Well, that could actually be fixed if you actually wanted to venture in and take it apart, but I wouldn't do that.
Oh, we'll see.
But, yeah, actually, you know, actually it would be kind of interesting opening up Galvatron. See, that's done, if I remember my electronics correctly, by a capacitor. Actually, that would be two or three capacitors attached, and now I'm becoming Prowl. Hey, Prowl.
Wait, weren't you the guy who told us how to rewire blast charge in a similar way?
Me? I doubt it.
Oh, well. I'll give you the credit anyway, because it's your show. Thank you.
But actually, you know, lots of nifty sounds could be made by Galvatron if you took him apart.
Yeah.
That's basically just what I'm saying.
I think that people, in terms of the character Galvatron, tend to underestimate him. I mean, people very often say, when he shows up in a debate, and let's kind of, unless you want to talk about the whole Megatron Galvatron thing now.
No, I don't. That's
very cool. People kind of say, look, there's one side which says he was very, very interesting. And the other side just says he was an abusive, cliched, psychotic, you know, piece of trash. I think he definitely was abusive to his fellow Decepticons. And I think that's half his appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually saw how deserving of abuse many of the post-Reach Decepticons really were, and just fished out what they were looking for, you know? I mean, they were asking for it.
For me, Galvatron, he's kind of like Megatron in a way, as he really never succeeds at anything, but at least he's fun to watch.
Yes.
And Megatron, you know, you want to take a screwdriver and poke it into your eye.
Yeah. Or maybe you want to poke it into him until he remembers that he tried that whole giant weapon of destruction last episode, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
In Galvatron's credit, he may be a nutcake, but he was always sane enough to not try to base his strategy around, okay, this big thing fell out of the sky. I don't know what it is or what it does, but I'm betting it'll let me destroy the Autobots and rule the universe forever, so I will be avenged. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was basically Megatron's strategy, and Galvatron did it maybe like once or twice in his entire career, which is why he's a better character.
And the ultimate weapon, you know, it was a ploy, but, you know.
Right.
The ultimate weapon, at least, you know, Megatron would have never thought of that. His ultimate weapon is a big satellite that goes around the Earth and, you know, makes sounds and does nothing. At least, you know, Galvatron's like, this doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Webworld's one of my favorite episodes, too.
Webworld is very cool. As I mentioned, when I took some Transformers episodes up to Theracon,
mm-hmm.
Webworld was, in fact, so popular that it got two encores from the student body.
Yeah.
That they wanted to see it over and over again. It was that popular.
Yeah, it's season 3 had a lot of great episodes like that. Burden Hardest to Bear. Webworld.
Burden Hardest to Bear was awesome.
Yeah.
It was also one of the only episodes that I can think of where Scourge actually had like a good, entertaining presence.
Yeah.
I think he actually had his most lines, too.
Of course, you know, season 3 also had like Carnage and C Minor, but we
yeah.
won't talk about that.
The Galvatron was very cool in Dark Awakening as well, when he basically teased and taunted the Quintessons and showed that he learned from his mistakes in the movie when he grew overconfident and allowed the Autobots to escape by doing that whole, like, disengagement thing.
Mm-hmm.
They tried the same trick in Dark Awakening. He wasn't fooled this time.
Yeah.
See? He's not twice as psychotic.
And just on a tangent, Dark Awakening is the funniest Transformers episode ever. I mean, it's the funniest, yes. While this isn't going to prove to be humorous, it's just something to note that Rodimus is a total moron.
Oh, well, minus Tanar.
people keep asking us what we want to do after the Transformers the movie parody, and I keep wanting to do a Dark Awakening parody, because it's just, it's a great episode, but to pull it off, Rodimus has to be a moron.
Yeah. I think a Dark Awakening parody would most just consist of somebody doing a Peter Cullen voice going, hi, I'm okay. Look at me, whatever you do. Kind of like a bad punch counterpunch return from the grave or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for that. That was great.
Very cool.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. The first, the best, the Optimus Prime, if you will.
Okay, as promised, the rest of my trainees ballot, and the rest of my trainees ballot is going to be pretty vague, pretty fast, because, for the most part, the rest of the questionnaire and the rest of the ballot, I'm not too keen on as far as knowledge goes. Part 3 of the trainees ballot cartoons and animated episodes, the best single episode or multi-part episode of the year for me was Spark War Part 1, The Strike, for Beast Machines. I don't like Beast Machines, the series as a whole, but it did have its points, and this entire episode was very good. If you don't know what Spark War Part 1 was, it was the debut of Strike and Obsidian, and I really like that because when you have two characters debuting at the same time, it gave them less time to worry about where the sparks were and to be chased around by drones that we've already seen for a season and a half. At least in this episode, we did have the tired chase scene, but it was with new characters. And the new characters, Strike and Obsidian, were some of the best and only ones that Beast Machines introduced. And they were consorts. They were married. They were lovers. And Strike is a non-traditional Transformer femme. She's not curvaceous like Black Arachnia. She's not, you know, the basic G1 femme that all look the same that were personified by RC. She's different. In fact, I don't see anything female about her besides her voice and her self-characterization, the way she alludes to herself being female in a way. In fact, I don't even know if she does that. I think the total feminine thing is in her voice and the fact that she has Obsidian as a consort, and it's kind of a goth thing going. I mean, she's a fat, dominating chick with a skinny, smart, physically weak boyfriend. I see it all the time. Next category, best single episode ever. For me, it was Agenda Part 3 from Beast Wars. It was a great story. Agenda's a great story, and I'll get to that later, but Agenda Part 3 was the climax of a very good story. It was almost like a fanfic, in that the writers had good knowledge of Transformers history, but it was not like a fanfic in the fact that they stayed away from conflicting continuities, from stepping over continuities. They played around it. They didn't interject some sad wet dream they had about one of the characters involved. They took what characters they had, they took previous history, and they used that. They wrote around that and with that. They didn't tread right through it or stomp on it. And some of the best parts about Agenda Part 3 that I think are the little touches they had with the arc, with the character models of the G1 toys and characters in the arc, the positioning of them, things like that. Optimus Prime is in his chair, not slumped over on the floor because the volcano hadn't erupted yet. Little things like that. Now, moving on to Agenda as a whole, that was my best multi-part episode ever. And I don't think anything comes close to the Agenda. It's just good story. It's a good TV show. I mean, it's good watching. It's a well-crafted story. They take two or three different continuities, and they put them together without any major clashes. Especially when you consider G1 has three or four continuities in the series. I mean, they can't decide on origins or what's what or if Unicron's head is still in orbit. How can you possibly expect to take that continuity, the comic continuity, and Beast Wars continuity and put it together in an almost flawless way? Well, Agenda did that, and they put it together well. It ended up with a great story, an epic story. And even little parts of Agenda I appreciate, little throwaway lines, like when Ravage first makes his appearance, Optimus Primal gives one or two lines about the history of the Decepticons, about how some were retired, some turned into Predacons, some seeked asylum, things like that. Little lines like that, that were sorely missing in Beast Machines. It's little lines like that that make a story that much more plausible, that much more enjoyable. Like that, they fail to explain certain things like where Megatron got his virus, what he had been doing between him falling off the ship and preparing Cybertron in his own image when the Beast Machine Maximals arrived. Little one or two lines, three or four words, make a story go. They're the things that tie, they're the mortar for the bricks They build up the story. They make it worthwhile. Agenda's full of things like that. Little things like the Pax Cybertronia for a peace treaty. Little touches like that make it all worthwhile. Okay, moving on to the best Japanese cartoon series. And for me, it was Transformers Car Robots, the latest one. But trust me, that's not saying much at all. Japanese cartoon series for Transformers are completely different from the ones that we've gotten used to here since Beast Wars. Ever since Beast Wars came about, I think the standard for Transformers and for really kids cartoons has been raised to a level that most people don't even try to touch, in all honesty, because Beast Wars is science fiction almost as much as a kid series. I mean, it's just well crafted, it's well done on any level and by any standard. Now, Japanese cartoon series for Transformers are more along the lines of G1. And that's good if you're a kid, I guess. If you're anything over 10 years old, it's not a good thing because it's boring, it's dumb, and in lots of times, in most cases, it's embarrassing. Headmasters, if you've ever seen the dub, you know what I mean. It's bad in a good way. It's so bad, it's good. You've got allusions to rape and sexual activity, and it's all through the magic of bad dubbing. Now, if you had to take Transformers Headmasters from Japan at face value with a straight Japanese translation, I'm sure it would be dull and horrible. But thanks to the wonderful world of dubbage, we get sick, sad, soft pornography entertainment out of a Transformers series. You can't beat that, but that does not make it the best Transformers cartoon series from Japan, in my opinion. It just makes it sick entertainment. Moving on to the Beast Wars era Transformers cartoon series in Japan, those are just bad. Beast Wars 2 has mediocre animation. Beast Wars 2nd has sad storytelling, really just basic run-of-the-mill storytelling, nothing to get excited about. Most people that like G1 on ATTCM, the classic moderated group, many of them like Beast Wars 2nd. They say it captures quote-unquote the essence of G1, but I take that to meaning mediocre animation and characterizations so vague you can turn the bad guys into good guys. Moving on to Beast Wars Neo. Like I've said before, Beast Wars Neo was a disaster on all fronts. The toys were made for an older crowd. The cartoon was made for an extremely young crowd, like five-year-olds. Big Convoy is a child abuser. He beats up on his crew, and he likes it. He's a jerk. The dinosaur-influenced Destrons are just there. Their characterization doesn't even exist. It's basically a mess. It was just thrown together over a weekend, apparently. I mean, the storytellers didn't take 5 minutes to put together a semi-coherent plot or a interesting cast of characters. Basically, it's Big Convoy beating up on his children, which are the rest of the Cybertrons, and the bad guy dinosaurs that are just there. Moving on to Car Robots. It gets my best Japanese cartoon series ever because it's not embarrassing for the most part. It's got pretty good animation, and it's pretty much praise with, relation to the rest of its competition. It's got no competition. That's why it gets my best cartoon series. It's not embarrassing. Its animation is not mediocre. It's pretty good. Its characters are pretty bland, but they're not overly cheesy. Superfire Convoy is boring, but he's not embarrassing. He's not a cliche. In fact, Car Robots has one of the best characters ever, in my opinion, in theory at least, in God Magnus. What God Magnus if you haven't been keeping up, is a jerk. He's a Cybertron. He's a good guy, but he's filled with selfish, self-serving intentions. You see, the story behind this is God Magnus believes that he was the chosen bearer of the Matrix when he and Fire Convoy were back on Cybertron. They were the top two in line for the Matrix. But when God Magnus had his back turned, Vector Sigma bestowed the Matrix on Fire Convoy, and God Magnus is obsessed with returning the Matrix to its rightful heir, which is himself. So he's obsessed with Fire Convoy, and he just as soon see Fire Convoy blown up in front of his eyes and the Matrix handed over to him than anything else. But since he really can't do that, God Magnus is fit and happy and content with forming the merger with Fire Convoy, forming Godfire Convoy, and in that form, God Magnus is the dominant personality, and he takes over possession of the Matrix and all its power. Basically, he's a selfish prick, and he's well done in the cartoon from what I can tell, and for that alone, for that kind of characterization alone, Car Robots is light years beyond anything that's on Japanese Transformer cartoons. Okay, the final part of the trainings that I'm going to bother with is the fandom. I'm not going to touch the comic. I haven't read one issue, one page of the Transformer comic, so I can't comment on any of it, although I do hear that some parts of the story are pretty good. I'm not going to comment on the movie categories because I've talked and talked about the movie to exhaustion, and there's not much more that can be said about the movie. Everybody's talked about the movie. Everybody will continue to talk about the movie and dissect it and say whether it sucks or it rules or it saved my life or it brought me back to Jesus or whatever. But the fandom is pretty interesting right now because the fandom is pretty worthless right now. At least when Car Robots, about a year ago, came onto the scene, we had a flux, a blitz of new fans, of fringe fans, of nostalgic fans, and even if most of those guys couldn't contribute much to ATT as far as things we haven't heard before, conversations and takes that really didn't mean much because they didn't remember most of anything, at least those were new voices to be heard, at least those were new ears that could hear some good conversation and seep in some good knowledge from the veterans on the news groups, on the channels, on things like that. But Car Robots is dying, if not dead. Transformers brand names in Japan are dying or dead or down to a few G1 re-releases and PVCs. So those fans have fallen by the wayside. And now the fandom has receded back to its core. And for the most part, those knowledgeable veterans have no time to post right now for whatever reason. Or they're not. They're just disinterested with the fandom like I am. And what few voices we have right now on ATT and on the news groups are worthless. Basically, it's degraded into flames and off-topicness more than actual good, hearty Transformer conversation, and therefore the fandom right now is dull, and not only is it dull and boring, it's pretty much worthless. There's nothing to gleam off of ATT for the most part, or at least for the last few months. Now, that being said, there's definitely a Transfam of the Year for me, no doubt. It's Robert Powers, because he's the reason why I still read ATT for the most part. That guy can take a G1 episode review or a Beast Machines episode and turn it into a 5-page essay, and every one of those pages is going to be a good read. I mean, he can take any kind of topic, any kind of aspect about any one of the shows and make it interesting and make it intelligent and make it fun, and that kind of ability is sorely needed on ATT by more than just one guy, but by his own admission and by his own power, Robert Powers is Transfan of the Year. Now, the best Transfan Transformer news group for me is still ATT, and it always will be, chances are. whenever I have a chance to vote on the trannies, ATT is always going to be the best news group because it is uncensored. It is the biggest and the best barometer for the trans fandom at any given time. It's not moderated. It's not cut. The fat isn't trimmed off. And frankly, ATT is boring and useless right now because the fandom is boring and useless right now. And you couldn't gauge that off any other news group because of the moderation. You've got to cut all the crap away from ATT, and you've got to look hard, and you've got to want to look hard for the good stuff. And the good stuff, like Rob Powers, like Thylacine 2000, like Zobavore, it's there. It's on ATT. It's just harder to find, and you've got to look for it really hard. Now, my second runner-up for best news group is the Marketplace, All Toys Transformers Marketplace. Now, I know what you're saying. That's just a place to find toys and price toys and stuff. Well, yeah, for the most part it is. But let me tell you something. That place can be good reading. That can be entertainment, especially when they get into topics like shill bidding or scalping, too high prices, people that are bad dealers. Those guys can put the kung fu grip on each other like nobody's business. I mean, those guys can flame. Now, moving on to the best Transformers website. And for me, it's Ben Yee's website, BWTF.com. Benson, he's got the best contacts at Hasbro and in trans fandom, as far as I'm concerned, and it shows. I mean, most Transformers sites are just rehashes of each other. There's very little that you can find on one website that you can't find on 10 other websites, as far as pictures, toy reviews, sound samples from the shows. But Benson, his contacts give him access to all sorts of stuff, like new toys, information on upcoming developments in the toy lines, at Hasbro, things like that, that really separate his site from the others. It makes it worthwhile. Second runner-up is Botcon Beyond, just because that site is great. I mean, it's pretty. It's got good information. It's interesting. I find myself waiting on Saturday morning or whatever time on the weekend for the updates every week. You can't say that for almost any other Transformer news group. Now, the silliest discussion of the year was on ATT. It was a significant others thread, which was just sad. I mean, I think we can all put aside our denials and realize that Transformer fans, for the most part, are a lonely group. Just lonely. No date. No girly girls. You know, they don't get none, for the most part. I mean, you go to BotCon, and you'll see that loving come by, as far as trans fans goes, especially if you're the stereotypical, the prototypical trans fan, which is a white Jewish guy with a mullet. Now, what made that discussion so silly is it brought it out in all its glory. The loneliness of ATT was in full effect, and it wasn't pretty. Moving on, Best Transformers Internet Relay Chat Channel is the only Transformers IRC channel, and that's Ouija. And even that's a technicality, because in my mind, Ouija really isn't a quote-unquote trans fans IRC channel. It's a group of people that happen to like Transformers, but we'll talk about anything that interests us. We'll talk about anything that comes up, and we'll talk about it intelligently, without embarrassingly low levels of intelligence and mediocrity, unlike, say, some other channels around. If you want to talk about Transformers nonstop on IRC, go to Pound Cybertron. And I'm not dissing Pound Cybertron in any way. I'm just saying, if you want to talk about Transformers and that's it, go to there. If you want to talk about other things, including Transformers, go to Ouija and see if you can hang. Now, hopefully, next year, the trannies will be a little more worthwhile, because this year, with the dull, slow state of trans fandom, it was pretty hard to fill out this ballot. Even though I only filled out about a third of it, it was still a struggle. And that is my trans fans ballot for 2000. See you next year. Hopefully with a little more gusto, hopefully with a little more to write about and talk about. I am John DeLuna.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Want to tell you that the sound quality may not be the tops, and I tried to edit everything out, but, you know, Cypher has a creative mouth, so a few things may have gotten out that I missed. So, if a word or something comes out that you don't like, don't blame me. Here we go. Enjoy.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here with N Cypher. Tell everyone, hey. Okay. First of all, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a bitter crank who has generally made a nuisance of himself. I don't know, Toys, Transformers, for... what year is it?
2001.
For 2001, which means I still don't remember when the hell I came on, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Before Beast Wars, at least, I know that much.
So it's been at least 6 years.
About, yeah.
I just basically wanted to do two things here with this interview. First, since I'm like a...
Kill time, always.
But since I'm like a geek for toy stories and not the movie, but like flea market finds and things like that, I want to know about Minerva. But yeah, it's not much of a story, you think. But I'm always captivated.
It's a story. There's just not much to it.
Well, and then we'll go into the Hasbro thing. First, tell us about Minerva.
Well, first of all, it is in fact Minerva and not
Minelva.
Minelva. Learn some transliteration, people. I thought, you know, hey, that's the first female Transformers toy ever released. Cool. I may pay a lot of money for that. This is back before when you didn't pay a lot of money for a Transformer. Remember then?
Barely.
Happy days then. There were bunnies and kittens. Little elves and pajamas were just sprinkle Transformers. God, I'm high. Anyway. I just spent about 2 years looking for them. They didn't even show up at BotCon back before the boom. They're not around. That's just all there is to it. And I walked past, it was at the flea market where I'd always been going to. The guy lovingly referred to as Banana Box Man. That kind of flea market dealer who just has boxes and rows, he'll fill up three parking spaces full of banana boxes of McDonald's toys and ancient stuffed crap. That kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you find like maybe a half-wrecked Blue Streak or something like that. Which, well, not hit there, but that's actually how it built up most of my collection. Anyway, I just walked past the table and sitting there is this nice little white and red Porsche 911. And I stopped. And after I'd gotten past the coronary attack, cardiac. Anyway, I kind of looked and there was a Minerva. Mint. All the weapons and everything, no card, but I didn't care. And I looked up, oh, Jesus, here's Bludgeon, here's a Skyhopper, here's Octopus, and you know, it was probably, at the time, about $200 worth of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, this is about when the boom had started to really pick up speed. And I went to the guy and was like, well, what do you think? Well, I got a price tag. I said, it's about $80 is about the price tag. And I'm like, yeah, please, got them. But since you you know, you buy from me all the time, I'll give you the, how about 60? So, you know, do the little happy dance of joy to the cash machine, do the happy dance of joy back, take it back very calmly. And there.
Wow.
That's about, I would also like to note that from this transaction, I have Grand Maximus's 3-Bros gun.
Wow.
Because apparently, whoever the hell he got this from had a Grand Max.
That's crazy.
I could have gotten my hands on it if he hadn't lost the number. So, you know.
That's totally crazy.
Yeah.
I finally saw Minerva on eBay.
What was she going for?
She was going for $100.
Is this loose or...
It was loose.
Okay, complete knife and all that?
I'm not sure. I was just skimming through today, and I just noted that I saw Minerva. I was looking through the Japanese toys. I want to get Deathosaurus. Yeah, I'm not a big ticket person. So I wanted to get Deathosaurus, but I couldn't find one. But I saw Minerva. and it's there if you want it. There's like 8 days left.
Yeah, you used to recolor on Death Source before I even knew what the hell Death Source was. I find that highly amusing.
Yes.
But then again, I'm apparently usually amused.
No, don't say that.
I think I rescued a buttload of nuns in a previous life or something. I was the guy who, you know, like a month into getting into Altoids, Transformers, I posted, "Now, I found these guys at the flea market. I paid $2 a pop for and I can't find any. There's like a black buggy, and this tan tank, and a blue jet. And you know, the jet's kind of got like a bat helmet, and they apparently turned into some kind of combiner. What the hell, you know?" And Jameel, you nut. Jameel posted that, "You lucky duck. That's Brass Force, yes." So I'm just gonna rattle off a few things here.
Sure.
The Technobot Strafe was a little thing. I'm completing all that. Complete Target Master Scourge. With his little booklet. And complete Power Master Darkwing?
Yeah.
Really Dark Gray Jet. Yeah, Darkwing. Those three for $8.
Wow.
I think I actually paid way too much for my Target Master Hot Rod, but...
I paid retail for mine, but...
see, that's lucky.
Yeah.
There was the $100 Fort Max back when they were still, you know, going 300 loose. Of course, I don't have half as crap, but, you know...
Yeah.
$100, I'll take that. But those days are more or less over... Minerva thing was a real fluke.
Yeah, that's crazy. I still don't understand that.
That's the Minerva story in all its heart-wrenching detail.
Yeah, that's amazing that I still find that. I want to get into the little Hasbro discussion that was going on in Ouija.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people out there that are basically Takara fanboys who think that Takara is the greatest thing on Earth.
They would be wrong. Greatest thing on Earth, I believe, is, what's that ice cream? Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs.
Yes, Haagen-Dazs. Hang on a second. What's that Haagen-Dazs ice cream you... What's the Haagen-Dazs ice cream with the caramel and the... Dulce de leche? Yeah, Dulce de leche. I don't even remember what all is in there, but that's the greatest thing on Earth.
That sounds like a Mexican wrestler.
It does. But like a Mexican wrestler, it is smooth and wonderful.
I shall try that.
I don't know what I meant by that.
But, really, so there are people out there who think that Takara basically brought us Transformers. And while it is true that Takara...
Since they are very right.
Yeah. Well, it's true that Takara created, you know, the toys originally. And were pretty much repaints of the American toys were. But, you know, if it wasn't for Hasbro, there wouldn't be Transformers.
Right.
They'd just be die clones.
I kind of got the groundwork going. The way I view them now, the two companies, Hasbro is the side that gives us the great innovations over the years. They're the idea men, the people who know the nice new aesthetic, you know. Takara, they're great engineers. They make good toys. Let's be totally honest here. They know how to take a good design and make a great toy out of it. But they are not the most inventive people in the world. You want to look at, like, their Brave line. It's year after year of generally futuristic transforming toys. Robots. You know, it's a lot of the same stuff over and over. And they're also very repaint happy.
Yeah.
But even Car Robot, if I'm remembering the original pre-Transformer Diaclone... Yeah, Diaclone Car Robot. We're kind of a different step in the same direction. Like, they had their piloted stuff, their Microman. They had all their little transforming Microman vehicles. This was just kind of a different step. We'll shrink down the scale and make them modern. So it was kind of just like a... You know, and they tried to market it in America, and it didn't work. Because, you know, rather typical, it was kind of... on story, it was just kind of, they're just machines. And Hasbro got with it and said, you know, let's have some fun. Owen took our set back and watched and said, hey, this is flying in America. Let's do it. So they followed along. And for up until, well, Victory, I think, yeah, everything was concurrent. So it's like the headmasters, pretenders, micromasters, you know, think what you will of any given toy advance, aesthetic change, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, even the change to futuristic vehicles with the movie once the old molds ran out.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much, well, at this point it was like co-done by Hasbro. I would, just judging by the track record afterwards, I would say that they would be the instigators. They'd say, okay, we're running out of new molds, and getting a little old, let's move to future. And so as the car would go along, I'd say, oh, that's good, yes, we can broker that, we can make new toys, da da da. And, you know, Victory was a bit of a change, even though it did have, Victory refined a few things, but didn't really do anything new, if you'll notice. I mean, we've got a, Road Caesar is not a good toy, that's all there is to it. You know, they didn't really do much new, they kind of gave us a new version of the Target Masters, here's a new version of the Headmasters.
Brain Masters, that's beautiful.
What?
The Brain Masters, that's just beautiful.
Oh yeah, the Brain, work on Star Saber scale. An old, good old Thunder Thighs Road Caesar, that's, wow. But, you know, then you'll notice they went back to heavy, what we were doing, Micromasters. They went gung-ho on Micromasters, buddy. So, but I mean, and then, you know, once we died over here, they stuck around for like maybe a year on lines that were largely made up of repaints and Hasbro overseas stock. They got a lot of European stuff. So it's not like they were good, and then they let it go.
Yeah.
And did more Brave. And as nice as Galgaigar is, again, it's not anything terribly new. Although the cartoon kicks quite mightily.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a wonderful cartoon.
Never seen it.
Excellent piece of work.
It's amazing.
But then Hasbro comes along, and Hasbro brought us back G2. And Takara a little later, you know, said, what the hell, let's revive it. And then when that dies down, Hasbro says, okay, this isn't working, time for the ideas change. And of course,
Beast Wars.
Yipper, everyone's favorite, the one we all hated. Well, most of you hated. And Takara said, no, we'll do Galgaigar, I think, was what they were doing at the time. And it took off. And then Takara was always, you know, just like about a year behind us. Then I'm looking at what we were doing. Hasbro did the great change from cars to realist EVs. And things went on. And when it turned out we did, and then when Beast Wars 2 came out, and you'll notice, it's a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Realistic. They went back and they brought us some Generation 2 recolors, which weren't bad. I'm eternally grateful to them for giving us the new auto rollers. Make no mistake about that. I had seen those long before Beast Wars 2 came out. I saw like unpainted prototypes and just, my stone. So, that was good. But they, you know, Beast Wars 2, Beast Wars Neo, even though Beast Wars Neo was largely new molds, it was very much the same.
Except with a lot of kibble added on.
What?
With a lot of kibble thrown in.
Well, I'm not even talking, you know, toy design. I'm talking just the aesthetic.
Yeah.
It's all normal, relatively, beasts. It's real life stuff. You know, and it didn't help that most of the good guys were, a lot of the good guys were critters that weren't exactly ferocious in any way. I don't care how much Freak's heart burns with passion, yada yada. A penguin, and I realize this may not be the most sacrilegious thing I've ever said, but the hell with it, isn't very impressive a beast mode. A rabbit, you know.
Stampy's awesome, though.
Oh, I like Stampy. He's not a bad toy. It's just, you know, short of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a rabbit doesn't exactly conjure up images of battle.
No.
So, but then you'll notice, you know, it was Hasbro who decided, let's go with fusels and transmetals. Let's mix it up. Hasbro then went to Transmetal 2s, which, you know, again, your call on that may vary, but again, they were the ones who said, let's go ahead. And then Beast Machines. Again, a very big change. We got, well, I mean, yes, we got the vehicles back, but they went with living, like truly living vehicles, with eyes and little faces and heads. And I'm not articulating very well. And I'm rattling, and eventually I'm just going to fall over and start foaming.
No, you're doing fine. Go ahead.
But I mean, if you look back, it seems like Hasbro is the one that did all that really started the change.
But dude, Hasbro sucks whores. I mean, car robots.
Hasbro sucks whores, and they only are responsible for giving us, you know, everything.
But Takara loves us because of car robots.
Car robots.
Car robots is mediocre.
Yeah.
It is not a bad one. It is not the best thing that has ever come down the pike.
But it's G1.
And it isn't G1 either. It has some traffic. That's the one that kills me. You got a lot of people. They brought back the old symbol. They've got a couple modern vehicle modes. And it's G1. No, not really. Because if you look at it, the villains are all still, well, Predacons, basically. And, you know, why are you releasing Valdigus? At the very least, you know, the con missed a lot of them. They released far too many toys that they had already seen released two or three times in the past in Japan, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't want to be associated with Beast, they shouldn't have gone with the Transmetal 2s and Gigatron in the first place. Okay, maybe Gigatron can float.
Yeah. He's a new
but
toy.
They shouldn't have gone with the Transmetal 2 repaints for bad guys. And if they were going to start with that team, they should have bloody finished with it and at least given us a team that, like, a Terracon.
Yeah.
They hadn't been repainted at all.
No.
Recolored. It's not repainting, it's recolored.
Yeah.
I caught and corrected myself. I mean, wouldn't you like to see a recolored Abominus?
Yeah.
Given a new color scheme?
I love Abominus.
It wouldn't mean another friggin' Bruticus. And the toys are only just about as lame as the Combaticons. So, you know, everyone wins.
Yeah, I like Abominus myself. And if they hadn't already re-released King Poseidon, God Neptune, you know, Chronicon in Beast Wars 2, that would have worked.
I will give Valdigus points where they avoided the mistake they made with God Neptune. By neutering him completely.
Yeah.
No individual weapons. Okay, the decal I'll let slide because I don't care about decals. But making the individuals more or less worthless by taking away their stuff is pretty weak.
Yeah.
I mean, just car robots. I don't care if they're store exclusives or convention exclusives or comic bomb. I don't care about the circumstances. Car robots was too bloody recolor heavy. And too many of those were exclusive. Here's only 3,000 made of this toy. This is the only place you can get this sword. Here's the only place we can get these accessories. Here's the only place you can get him. Back and forth. It is just plain out ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I can only want really one Super Fire Convoy. I don't have to have three.
Sword?
Nah.
That's the only one I plan on getting. Only Fire Convoy I plan on getting. You see, I can just Fire Convoy because I played with them. I got to play with Fire Convoy fairly early in the line run. A friend of mine who has a lot more money than I do. Takes them and says, it's kind of neat. I'm like, hey, yeah, how much did you pay for this? Thank you, I'll go back to Ultra Jetstorm. My $20 happy toy.
I like Ultra Storm myself. Of course, now I'm just getting into Beast Machines. I sort of skipped it early on because I've been saving money for other things. But now, you know, I just got Supreme Cheetor.
Okay.
I just got Supreme Cheetor because I could get him for like $7.
Yeah, I just did that. Not bad.
He's staying in the box, though. I don't have any place for him.
Oh, I took him out. I played with him. Not bad. These Cheetor's only problems were need a little more work. That's all there is to it.
Kind of simple.
They sacrificed a, few points. I really thought. I mean, it stayed like his right arm. Make it normal trigger into the button and I'll pull back chunka. That works a lot better. Just a lot of little things that are not hard things. I mean, I wouldn't pay $40 for it, but on the other hand, I'm not thinking, gee, I paid $8 for it.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, I think I will pay the $40 for Primal.
Primal Prime?
I've got Primal Prime. Supreme Optimus Primal. Yeah.
I
like Primal.
On that one. At least as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it looks nice, but, you know. I freely admit one of the reasons I held on to Green Cheetor is because I am much more interested in new characters. I don't... If we get a G1-like line, truth be told, I don't want to see rehashes of the old guys.
Really?
I don't want Optimus Prime back. I don't want Megatron back.
They're the greatest heroes ever.
They're boring.
Yeah.
They're overused.
Over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. I have always liked moving on with new characters. That's part of the reason I thought Beast Wars was so cool when Bob and Larry pretty much wished that no, they are new characters. Screw off. And that was nice. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I will never trust anything with the Skrr.
Yeah, Bob Skrr.
Yeah. And I want to get into this, too. Skrr is not the devil. Skrr is not necessarily a bad writer. He has written several... I can't hate Skrr because he wrote several scripts for Sam and Max, Freelance Police.
Oh, really?
That were funny. Dear God, were they funny. They were intelligent. And they were quite clearly written for Sam and Max's true audience. Which is people who really, you know, wonder why is this on Fox Kids. Funny stuff. I can't get down on him. I don't think he and... Eisenberg?
Yeah, Marty Eisenberg.
Marty Eisenberg. I don't think they make very good long-range story editor kind of people. They just, you know, they don't quite have it. They don't think they quite caught. I mean, having these machines be a direct sequel to Beast Wars, I don't think they caught at all the feeling of Beast Wars. And it suffered for it. And of course, I want to find whoever's a bungle for do not pass go, do not collect $200, and smack them. Smack them. Smack them like a bad donkey, okay? So, but, no, I mean, I guess, where the hell were we?
These machines.
These machines. Let's go back to the toys. Those are nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sweet, got them.
I like the Viacons.
Oh, the Viacons, I mean, I really actually am enjoying the Maximals a lot, too. Because I was very happy to see that the Maximal toys aren't kind of buggy, quasi-cyborg.
Well, I don't know if I like the cyborg factor.
Well, no, that's just it. They're not nearly like it, though. They look like grown metal animals, and I like that.
I liked the Transmetal line, because it was... More robot. It was robotic, but it wasn't.
Robotic, but it was kind of stylized.
Yeah, Beast Machines. The whole trans organic stuff. It just doesn't.
That's the difference between what the toys and the show look like.
Well, yeah, but you know,
the toys come first, so therefore, you know.
Yeah, but that's just what they described this whole concept
right.
as.
But if you look at, you know, like the original Mega Cheetor, and you kind of go, "Where's the organic?" I see metal. I see metal and. Plastic. I mean, Snarl, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the more organic. Actually, Decabot. Actually, this leads into one of my theories that a lot of these toys were designed with heroic Predacons in mind. If you look at some of the Predacon form toys, they tend to look more organic crittery. I mean, Skydive, my Viper is a bit of an exception, but Skydive, Decabot, Buzzsaw. They all look a bit more grown, don't they? I mean, a bit more animal. Bone and scale stuff, while the Maximals are all very, very mechanical, very smooth and stylized mechanical.
Oh, well, I really haven't thought about that much. I mean, while in robot mode, they definitely look robotic.
You know, they're very, very metal looking. That I like. It's another design, it's an aesthetic change. Hasbro seems to be a lot better with making new changes in the aesthetic than the car mode.
Yeah, well, like you said, you know, Hasbro is the one that spearheads the whole thing. Takara is a follower, pretty much.
I think they've got a little more creative input than that. I mean, because if you look at some of the early DC design sketches, they are a bit more, you know, cyborg furry. So I mean, there is a bit of back and forth, I'm sure.
No, obviously.
But yeah, Takara really does. I really think that. The whole thing runs out of steam when Hasbro says, here's an idea, here's an aesthetic, here's an impossible we can do, here's some design. What do you guys think, Takara? Yes, we can do this'll be good. You know what, Takara, you know, we'll supplement it. I gotta admit, Takara is generally much better at paint application than Hasbro is. Of course, it's a little easier to be when you don't have to fork the money over for the mold.
Yeah.
Or at least they have much money. But even their new stuff is generally better painted than your average Hasbro item. So when they can refine, they are very good at refining the toy. While Hasbro is definitely very the idea group, Takara does have a very more of the same. I mean the re-releasing of the Transformers, the old Transformers. How most of their lines will reuse older molds. Hasbro has gotten into that funk, unfortunately. However, I think, as near as I can tell, a lot of that's due to their current financial situation. Neither company is doing well, but even back when it was doing well, Takara seemed to enjoy using old molds far more often than you think they would.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the point? When, you know, you can make money, you know, more cheaply. And you can make money, you know, spending money. Do it.
It's, well, I mean, like I said, I'm the kind of person who would rather see an attempt at something new fail than fall back on the old stuff and, you know, kind of, and in this case, have a flash in the pan. You're kept playing the phone cord. I mean, your average, I mean, a lot of what Car Robot and a lot of the people you think, the cars, the Broadway Transformers, you know, I don't like generalizations. On the other hand, you know, a lot of that I hear seems to be from people who haven't paid any attention to Transformers in about 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually, I had to correct somebody on a different forum about that. You know, why can't, you know, Hasbro make their Star Wars figures as articulated as Transformers 2000? And at that point, I just kind of go, one. There is no Transformer 2000. That name was legit for about a day.
Which still dumbfounds me that people still use it.
Yeah. And then there's the simple fact that, you know, the superposability started, what, 5, 6 years ago? Yeah, about 6 years ago. Come to think about it. Halfway through D2?
Mm-hmm. Laser rods.
Laser rods. Oh, those were my favorite toys, right? I mean, all-time favorite Transformers. Super posability, little light-up stuff, and they were slick cars.
Yeah.
That was new. That was nice.
So, thanks, Soffer. And Cypher, everyone.